Hello there.
When I was growing up, I always wanted to wear a retainer and have glasses.
Did you, like, purposely fuck up your teeth? You're just, like, chewing on rocks, being like, I need a retainer, Mom.
I did purposely, like, fail eye tests. Like, I would purposely say the wrong direction sometimes.
Alice, what the fuck?
And I also wanted crutches so bad because I thought it'd be so cool to have a cast once that, like, one of my friends had a swimming birthday party and they also had a bouncy house, so I purposely didn't dry off to go bounce in the bouncy house, hoping I would, like, fracture something and then could have a cast and crutches.
Oh, my
God. It never worked.
Oh, my
God. I'm glad it never worked.
I'm – oh, my God. We might need to have a talk off my butt this.
I'm glad it never worked. Eventually, I did get a retainer and braces, and I loved it.
Oh, my God.
Every second of it.
Nobody loves braces. I never had them, but my siblings did. They were awful. I couldn't eat anything.
Mm-mm. They were the best. You got to have fun colors. You could wear those weird rubber bands that, like, crisscrossed everywhere. Like, oh, I fucking love – I was so excited when I got braces because it meant I was going to be able to have a retainer.
Well, that's what you get for chewing on rocks. But you've got beautiful teeth now. You're, like – they're, like, very straight and very white. Like, good for you.
Thank you. I'm getting them, like, extra whitened this week.
Oh, okay. Are you doing that for L.A.?
For L.A.
Oh, that's really
doing
funny.
All these things. You juiced?
Mm-hmm. I juiced, yeah. I did a three-day juice cleanse.
And you survived it.
I did. I actually, it really wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I'll be totally honest. And I didn't cheat at all, except one time totally by accident. I'll get into it later if you want, but yeah.
Yes, we should get into it later.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about going to L.A. in, what, like 2 weeks?
Oh, I'm
going to
talk about it nonstop for the next month.
Good.
I'm so excited.
I am so excited. Too, and I'm so glad we can finally talk about it.
Yes.
And we will talk about it right after we say, this is Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour, episode 19.
Indeed. My name is Laura.
And I'm Alice.
And what are we drinking today, Alice?
We are drinking, in our vain attempt of getting in good shape for LA, we're drinking Skinny Girl Vodka with soda water and lime LaCroix.
Yeah, thanks, Bethany Frankel. We've got our Skinny Girl Vodka on Alice, and yay. It's not bad. I feel like I've read
it's
things
fine.
About how, like, Belvedere's supposed to be low carb or something. Like, I don't even know. Like, is it really that much better for you in terms of other vodkas?
So it's about the calorie count, and it's actually, I looked up this compared to Tito's. It's pretty negligible, so there's really no point. Like, I could get a nicer vodka and wouldn't be much different.
No, whatever. I feel great. So we've been drinking and dancing and shit, so...
We just had a 90s boy band playlist thing running.
Yeah, because awesome. I learned some really interesting things about Alice this week when we were on the Sith List. Of course, the Sith List made us do this, like, what's it called? Like a newlywed game where they ask us questions about each other. It turns out Alice and I don't know shit about each other. For instance, I didn't know that Backstreet Boys was your favorite boy band and NSYNC is mine. So now we tried to compromise today and play 98 Degrees music. Turns out they only have one good song ever. So that was a fail.
Only one thing that's upbeat. So, of course, the logical conclusion is let's switch to the Linkin Park Jay-Z mix.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was epic. That was a good call.
Indeed. So, housekeeping, a few things to get out of the way before we, like, yap our mouths off about going to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Sith List came out September 15th. That was a shit ton of fun. Oh my God.
That was a riot. Those people were fucking fun. They must, like, that whole crew of people, I swear to God, I felt like we were just back at Celebration. Like, at the Congress Plaza, getting drinks at the bar, just shooting the shit after a long day of Celebration. That was just, it was the most, like, fun, relaxed shit ever.
So I think we both met Eric very, very briefly.
Yeah.
So I think we missed them at the, when we were carrying around the box wine at the Hyatt.
Yes, yeah.
I think that was the night.
That's too bad. They all should have been there. That was such a fun night that night. At the box wine night was what, Saturday night? Yes, because we went to the Schmodown before and then we came back went to the Hyatt party. I would like to put it out there now and just claim the territory that the Hilton that's connected to the Anaheim Convention Center should be the party hotel this year, because that's where we're staying and I want it to be convenient for me.
Yes, I agree. And in, you know, such fashion, we will again carry around box wine and tote bags for free refills, because those bar prices are like dumb expensive.
We'll share. Is she about to knock the like fucking cords out of the thing?
No, I think she's fine.
Wednesday, settle down.
Yeah, settle down, dog. Yeah, so that was like so much fun, like so just easygoing.
Now I've just been like reminiscing. I've had so many reasons now to like reminisce about Star Wars Celebration, and I just fucking miss it all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't, I like, if you had asked me to put down money on whether or not we'd have a celebration again in 2020, I would have been like, fuck no. Like, I would have put money down on, like, absolutely fucking not. And here we are. We get to go back in August next year and see everybody again, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, especially back in the U.S. Yes. They tried to do them overseas every now and then, right?
Yeah, but I would totally go abroad for Star Wars. Like, absolutely no question.
We could do that. I'll do that just for you.
For the record, I would also go abroad for Schmodown. They've, like, everyone in, like, their little Facebook group is a little. It's fucking huge. There is like, can you guys come to the UK, like blah blah blah. Like, I want to put it out there and be like, I will travel to the UK for trivia. Like, I will be a part of that. I can turn that into a vacation. Just saying. I should email somebody who matters
and
about
I will do that as the manager. Mm-hmm. We also will be talking with Star Wars Spelled Out.
Ah, yes.
Early October.
Yeah, so that would be fun.
That'll happen at some point. But to the task at hand, and speaking of Schmodown.
Le Schmodown.
We've been keeping this in since, like, July. It's been a nightmare. So here's the dealio. This is going to be, like, an ultimate semifinal for the Schmodown Ultimate Schmodown in December.
So we're going out to LA. We're going to shoot it on October 12th. Somebody asked me the other day if it's going to be live streamed. I have absolutely no idea. Mm-hmm. Like, Schmodown does so much stuff for their Patreon members. Like, they're extremely generous with their content when it comes to Patreon. So maybe it'll be live streamed to those people. I have no idea. I'm guessing no, but I don't know. But it'll be out sometime shortly after that. So that's October 12th. We'll be shooting that. Whoever wins that day between me and Andrew, we will compete against Alex Damon on December 7th. And that will be back out in LA again. So that will be
that
really
would be so cool.
That would be really cool if I could get to that level, because if I don't, I'm like, at that point, do I just stop trying, or do I make it a thing where I just keep trying, like Joseph Man. Scrimshaw did?
Yep, I was about to say, Joseph Scrimshaw kept at it for a long time.
Well, fuck,
time.
He won eventually.
I was looking up Schmodown stuff, and I think it'll be posted on their website how they do it, because I've seen them do where you can pay like $3 to watch a live stream or a live event. Or if you're a Patreon, you can watch it live or the day after. So when they finally give us any information, we'll let you know. We're super stoked. And after that, we will both be at the Scum and Villainy Cantina downtown Hollywood some point on the 12th. We don't know when, but feel free to come meet us if you are in the area.
Yeah, we don't know what timing the timing is on October 12th, but we will be at the studio, I assume, at least most of the morning and afternoon. I don't know how long it actually goes, but yeah, I will be competing against Andrew. Alice will be my manager. We're still talking about like nicknames and intro music and what we're gonna wear and all that fun shit, and it's been a lot of fun, and Alice has been an extremely diligent, hands-on, super helpful manager, so I'm very excited.
You guys thought I was live tweeting all those movies for fun?
Yeah.
Suckers.
Look at that.
It was to help prep trivia questions for Laura. Mm-hmm. And if you guys have any good like wrestling nicknames or something for Laura to use, send them our way.
Yeah, we have some ideas written down. I have a feeling we're gonna end up going with one of those, but if somebody has something like fucking crazy good, like send it my way. I'm not gonna understand any wrestling references. I don't know shit about shit.
Something
so.
Like Schmodown worthy, or like entry songs, or we have ideas, but we'd love to hear them. Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
Love it.
Send it our way.
Okay. So I think that's it for LA that we have to say, except come hang out with us.
Yeah, October 12th, that's a Saturday. That night we'll be at Scum and Villainy. If you're in the Anaheim, Hollywood, LA, whatever the fuck area, come find us. We're going to have a lot of fun that night.
Yep, second place or higher.
Win or lose, we'll still booze.
Oh my God, that was good.
Yeah, that's a sports thing. I didn't come up with that. I had a shirt that said that in college. Good times.
Nice job. Mm-hmm. Caravan of Corrections, I think we fucking jinxed ourselves last time.
Yep.
When we were like, oh, we have so many corrections.
Yep.
Because now we have even more corrections.
Yeah, we're fucking stupid. So here it goes. Fuck. So Caravan of Corrections for episode 19. I'll start with one of mine. I said Julie Jones was the name of the actress, one of the actresses that got cast on The Mandalorian. Her name is Julia Jones. My bad. Sorry.
Yes. Also, our friend Andy from Australia, we assumed was the dad. Turns out he was just dog sitting for a friend.
Yeah.
Womp.
We were deceived. Filing a complaint, but that's okay.
Yep. And we also had a lengthy conversation about how The Mandalorian got his shiny armor, and it is in fact not from an airport shoe shiner, which is no surprise, but evidently in Celebration and the reel, which we both saw and don't remember.
Nope.
Which is fair. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's be real.
Come on, that was so long ago.
It was in April.
How was I supposed to memorize everything? You also, like, the only way we could have rewatched it would have been shitty cell phone video.
Yeah. So evidently it is mentioned that he is purposely replacing his armor and buying new pieces, and there's like something called Mandalorian iron or something, but cool. Allegedly it has been referenced, so I'll go ahead and eat it with that one.
Mm-hmm. This episode 15 one about the Last Jedi bombers, this is hilarious because I noticed this when we were editing. I was like, oh fuck, I should have called her on that, but I didn't notice at the time, and then I just forgot about it. But since this was yours, why don't you walk us through it?
Episode 15. In The Last Jedi, I kept calling the bombers B-Wing bombers, and I assumed that's essentially what B-Wings were. That is not correct. According to The Art of Star Wars, The Last Jedi, the original name for these bombers was actually the T-Wing, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is. I kind of wish they would have stuck with that, but those things sucked so badly. I'm also like, well, I guess I get it why they didn't.
However, they are also known as the SF-17 or B/SF-17 heavy bomber. And that is probably why I thought B-wing bomber.
They kind of looked like a B-wing a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the VD has it as the MG-100 Star Fortress.
Yes, MG-100 Star Fortress is the official name.
Yeah.
So, my bad there. And then we have more.
Oh, yeah, because we were talking about the party nail. Was that episode 18?
Yes.
Yeah, too. We were like, what's the Coke nail? What's a party nail? We don't know anything. But yeah, our friend Maria sent us an email that we'll read later in the show, but she also clarified in her email that the party nail versus accent nail, a party nail is the pinky used for drugs, and it's super long. It'll be awkwardly more long than the rest of your nails. And then the accent nail is like normally the ring finger or the middle finger, and that's where, like, if you're doing fun nail art or whatever, that's the fun nail mm-hmm. that you do a little differently. So that's good times. So thank you for clarifying, Maria. We don't know shit about shit, so thanks.
Yes, good clarification. And also good confirmation that those nail wraps are big pieces of shit.
Yep, yeah. That was the other part of her emails that she totally agreed. So we've all been gypped. Force Friday is coming around again soon. If you see people selling nail wraps that are Star Wars-y, don't buy them. They're garbage.
Yep, fuck that shit. Just try to do something on your own.
Yeah.
Keep it classy. That's what I plan on doing for LA. I'm just going to do black with the silver glitter. Like I did for Celebration.
I have to get the fake ones put on because I still bite my nails because I am trash. So
I haven't had my nails done since May. My cuticles are going to like destroy me.
Oh, dude. I got mine done back to back for different events. Like I had them on for 3 weeks. They fell off or I picked them up. I got them done again immediately. And I swear to God, I thought that my nails were just going to like completely fall off or I was just going to file them down and I was going to hit skin.
I've never had fake nails.
Oh, God. They're so nice because I can continue to bite my nails like a monster and then they just put fake ones on and it doesn't make any difference.
I can just picture like my cuticles being pushed too hard and like bleeding.
Oh, no, it's not gross. Bad. It's not bad. They use a fun like motorized thing now that shaves them down, with like, it's like this spinning sandpaper thing. It's fucking cool. It doesn't hurt, except when they nick your finger, your cuticles, which that happens sometimes.
I'm gonna go to a nail salon next time I get my hair done, and the place is called Get Nailed. How funny is that?
Oh, that's amazing.
And it's BYOB.
They're all BYOB. If you live in a city that doesn't have exclusively BYOB nails, fucking move.
And like, it allows dogs, so I can bring Wednesday.
Oh, that's fun.
And they have a giant TV that has the soap opera effect.
Oh, God.
And they always play, like, really, like, wonky romantic comedies on it. So it's just, like, it's so funny.
It's called motion smoothing, and do you know that, like, every filmmaker ever fucking hates it because it's awful?
Well, yeah, it's fucking awful, but it makes every movie better, even, like, shittier romantic comedies. Nope. I'm talking, they have, like...
No, it doesn't make them better. That is false.
Okay, when you're drinking, you have your dog in your lap, you've got, like, a massage chair going on and people doing your nails.
No, there's nothing... Motion smoothing doesn't make anything better. That's
awful.
At a
place called Get Nailed.
Get the name is so fucking on point. That's so funny.
Genius. Mm-hmm. Genius. Okay, so now that we have talked about everything a lot.
Yeah.
Damn.
Talked about a lot of shit.
We're probably like really far in. Don't even know it.
It's been at least 3 hours.
I'm not going to look because I think Wednesday's sleeping on the recorder.
Okay.
So on to the news.
On to the news. Let's talk about this Jon Favreau interview that he did on the red carpet with Ash Crossan, because I missed this. So he talked about doing, I'm sorry, what, a holiday special?
He said he wanted to pitch a holiday special with the sequel trilogy characters. Yes.
Oh my God. Do you think that if he did it, he would do it in the same vein as the original holiday special? What vibe did you get from the interview? I haven't seen this.
I think he was probably just being silly. I don't know how they would... I feel like if you were going to do a holiday special, that you would need to be, like, over the top.
Oh, God,
and, like,
yes,
for sure doing it silly... Silly?
We know that Oscar Isaac and Daisy Ridley can sing. I've seen them sing before, because he can play the guitar and he sings that Star Wars song from SNL. And I've heard her sing, like, Baby It's Cold Outside with someone. Mm. I don't know if anybody else in the cast can sing, but I want to go to there. I want to see that.
I would love, like, if they made it goofy and, yes, like, purposely really goofy and mm-hmm. bizarre, that'd be perfect. I'd say, like, either... It's one of those things, like, if you're trying to match denim, because you remember back in the day when it was really cool to have, like, a denim skirt and a denim jacket? Like, I'm talking when you were, like, 7.
Yeah, like the 90s, yeah.
And the thing was, is either, like, you actually match it or you way not match it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those things where you have to, like, way not match it.
Got
like,
it.
Like, you go balls to the walls with weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine.
Yeah. That could be the title of this episode.
Balls to the Walls weird.
With Weird. Yeah. Balls to the Wall with Weird. I like it.
Perfect. Done.
Yeah. Noted.
That was easy.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
What's next? So next up, we have this. I want to talk about this Age of Resistance Snoke comic, because I fucking, like, lost my shit when it came out, and I immediately texted Alice. I was like, go fucking buy it now.
It's true.
Yeah. That's a true story. So let's dig into this. You know how I feel about it, because I was, like, obsessed with it and it destroyed me emotionally. What were your thoughts on this comic that came out? It was about a week or so ago, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, when I go through comics, I go through them so fast.
Well, yeah, like, same. This is just a one-shot. It's not a series. It's just a one little $4 goddamn thing.
I
so
know.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I just thought it was okay.
Really?
Like, you know, I mean, it's like 3 to 4 minutes to scroll through. I didn't find anything special about it.
You're not really into mushy stuff, I guess, then, either, because for me, that was, like, a super mushy comic. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's one, we'll dig into the plot of it here in a second, but that one scene, that one panel where he, like, with Han and Leia, it just was, like, it was so sweet. I thought it was really cute, but also, like, we'll get into it. I also thought it was, like, a little bit spoilery, to be totally honest, for The Rise of Skywalker, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't feel like I really got anything from it, except, like, oh, they went to Dagobah. Hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of cool, actually. Okay, so do you want me to walk through the plot here?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's talk about it. We'll put in the show notes if you don't want to be spoiled by it, but, I mean, it's a comic, it's out there, it takes 4 minutes to get through. So.
Yeah. It's been about a week or so that it's been out. The story was written by Tom Taylor. I can't figure out when this was taking place in the timeline. I'm sure there's maybe some official timeline somewhere. I don't know. I wouldn't know where to find it. So the...
Well, it wouldn't have been like... So Kylo had left. It had been 5 years since he, like, went nuts and join the First Order. And this was definitely before The Force Awakens.
Yeah, yeah.
So within 5 years.
Sure, of The Force Awakens. That checks out, I think.
Yeah.
So it basically starts with Snoke is levitating Kylo Ren over a bunch of shark rocks.
Uh-huh. Shark rocks.
Shark rocks. Gin on the shark rocks. It's Snoke is levitating Kylo Ren over a bunch of like super sharp rocks, and he drops him, and Kylo Ren has to basically like use his own force abilities to stop himself. They get back on a shuttle. This is like part of a whole training thing that Snoke is doing with him, and they are heading to, unbeknownst to Kylo Ren, they are heading to Dagobah.
That was really cool to me.
Yeah, yeah. This was really neat because I'm not an avid reader of the comics. I don't think you are either. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, in all the Star Wars canon novels, we have not been to Dagobah ever, with the exception of Empire.
Yeah, Empire and that little bit of Jedi. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is really kind of cool. We don't know exactly where they were, but basically what happens is that they get off of their shuttle. Kylo Ren wants to put his helmet back on, and Snoke slaps him, like basically backhands him,
bitch please,
and tells him like, leave your fucking helmet off, douche. And so it's kind of violent. It's sort of, actually, I almost want to say it's like you should almost have like a trigger warning for like anyone who has kind of issues with like abuse. I mean, he gets hit in the face fairly hard in this one panel. It's very upsetting to see, actually.
Yeah. I mean, they are at the same cave where Luke went, though, right?
Well, I don't necessarily know it's the same cave, because I don't remember Luke walking into like a hollowed out tree. I feel like he walked into like the mist, but maybe I'm wrong. I guess
I think there was like a little bit of a downslope. Like, really? I think it was the same place that Luke was.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, I didn't realize that. I just figured, like, Dagobah is very forcey and shit. So, noted. But yeah, they go to Dagobah to continue Kylo's training, and Snoke waits outside while Kylo goes into the tree cave. And the first thing that Kylo Ren sees while he's in there is Luke Skywalker, like old man Luke, and it's sort of the same version of Luke that we saw in The Last Jedi when Luke goes to, like, he sneaks into Kylo's little hut in the middle of the night to, like, kill him. And so basically they duel, and Kylo Ren stabs Luke, and Luke dies.
Doesn't he, like, cut him in half? Like, do I remember that correctly?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I just remember him stabbing him. I don't remember him cutting him in half. That would be very violent.
It was. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just like...
Yeah, well, Luke asked for it. So the... but after Luke dies, Kylo Ren sees Han and Leia are behind him, and... Meanwhile, Snoke is outside of the cave. He's sort of goading Kylo along. He's kind of encouraging. He can't see exactly what's happening in the cave, but he can kind of feel Kylo Ren's anger. And Snoke basically tells him to kill them. And you can kind of see the contemplation a little bit, but he can't do it. He just can't bring himself to do it. And so instead, because he knows Snoke is sort of watching through the Force, he stabs a tree, and that sort of fools Snoke into thinking that he killed Han and Leia.
That was one thing that I thought was kind of nice, is seeing Han and Leia, like, yes, together as parents.
Yes.
And as a couple, because we haven't seen that in canon pretty much at all.
Yeah, I mean, The Force Awakens, you can barely count that. You know?
But even in the novels, like, in Aftermath, like, they were pretty separate. When we, like, I listened to Last Shot, like, they're pretty separate. We knew that he was off doing, like, racing management or something. And then she was doing, like, they were never really together parental unit.
Yeah, you're talking about Bloodline, right?
So Bloodline.
That's 6 years before The Force Awakens. And they're not separated in that they don't talk or communicate ever. They're still together.
They're physically separated.
But but Han is off doing, race.
Because, like, Aftermath, I think Snap, was it Aftermath or was that Bloodline? Where someone's like, I want to go do racing, and Han runs this, like, racing circuit track thing.
And I don't remember Snap ever wanting to go into racing. I just remember him joining up with the Resistance at the end of Empire. No, that's not Empire.
Anyway,
who the fuck knows? But yeah, so they're at this point in canon, we have not seen a ton of old Han and old Leia, like, physically spending a ton of time together.
I mean, even when he was born, I don't think they spent a lot of time together. When she was pregnant, they didn't. Like, I don't think they ever did.
Yeah.
So it was, like, a little... I remember thinking, like, oh, wow, like, seeing them together, like, as a couple is something that hasn't been shown.
There are panels where they're, like, holding hands. It's really cute. It's a nice moment. And They're basically like, Ben, don't do this. And it's just, it's really sweet. They're calling him by his Christian name. So, Kylo Ren stabs like a tree trunk, fools Snoke into thinking that he stabbed Han and Leia. He destroys the tree, like blows up the entire thing, like tree cave thing. And Snoke isn't mad, but he doesn't like violently backhand him again, but he is annoyed, and he's basically like, I wanted to bring other apprentices to this place for training. Like, did you really need to do that, asshole?
Yeah.
And Kylo's like, well, you won't need any other apprentices. And that was like the mic drop at the end of the comic.
And then the outline says Laura dies.
All
right, it's a solo show from now on. Mm-hmm. I apologize to everyone. It will be very shitty.
This is just audio essay by Alice going on forever.
Good luck understanding anything I say. And show's dead.
I'll be cursing you from the grave.
Show's dead. Just joking. Okay.
So I really enjoyed this. If I'm being honest, like I can't remember the last time I enjoyed a fucking comic this much. Like, I just normally don't get anything out of these. I don't usually bother keeping up. Like, I didn't end up keeping up with the Shadow Wing comic or whatever the fuck. Like, I get nothing out of them for the most part.
That Jocasta new arc and Vader?
That was cool, I guess. That was all right.
That was like the coolest fucking thing in the world.
I don't know.
I'm still obsessed with it.
I thought this was way better than that. I mean, that was fine, but I enjoyed this more.
Okay.
Yeah. I even read Shattered Empire. Did you ever read that?
Uh-uh.
That was all right. There was nothing like really to blow my skirt up about it.
You wear skirts?
Almost never. I like to pants.
All right.
I don't know what that was, but yeah. First of all, my thing with this comic, I don't know why they sold it as a Snoke standalone. He's barely in it.
I know, right?
Yeah, like it's mostly Kylo Ren. So whatever questions you have about Snoke and his backstory, you are getting zero answers out of this comic about any of those. FYI.
Got it. Yeah. Got it.
Oh, I was just going to say that Kylo Ren looks really young in some of this imagery. Did you notice that at all? Like, I know that we kind of talked about timeline, but he looked really young in some of that scene, those scenes in The Last Jedi too, but he just looks like such a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still can't believe that gap of him being gone is only like 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me. And how old is he supposed to be in it? Like 29?
He was like born like 4 years after the Battle of Yavin. This is 34. So yeah, he's about 29, 30 or so.
Yeah. So he's really young. But I think Adam Driver does a good job portraying that, because I remember like when we first see him in Force Awakens, like he's just very like imposing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then The Last Jedi, he does have that very, like, boyish, like, oh my god, like, kind of, like, cowering look.
We get a lot more Adam Driver FaceTime. Yeah. That's a little more acting put into it, I think, which is great. So that was one thing I noticed. I think my thing with this comic is that this is one of those situations, I think, where this was the best medium I think they could have picked to tell this story, because I don't think it would have worked very well in a novel. And it's one of those things that's like, I don't know why they would bother showing it on screen, because it's so quick. It just like would have kind of like slow. If it was in a movie, it would have sort of slowed the story down. And this is one of those things. And I don't often say this because I'm not a big comics person, but I do think that this worked really well as a comic in this like short little like get through it in 3 minutes story. I personally really liked it. And I don't get to a lot of comics, so if there are others that are like this that you think I would like, shoot me a message and let me know. But I really enjoyed this. I'm kind of surprised that you were just sort of meh on it. Now I feel bad that I was just like, go buy it now.
No, I feel like that was a common from Twitter, that I think that was like a common thread. Like, you know, people were just like, oh my god, wow. And then maybe it's one of those things where it gets built up so much that you're, like, expecting something huge.
Hmm.
And then when you look at it, you're like, oh, well, I had my expectations up, like, so high that it wasn't as big. That's gotcha. What I think the problem was with Cats the Musical. Okay.
Cats the Musical, the movie preview we saw, or Cats the Musical in general?
The musical in general.
Got it.
Yeah, just because people were like, oh, my God, it's so good, it's so awesome. And then you watch it, and you're like, what the fuck? I loved it the first time, but I think, like, the hype build-up kind of made expectations different. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
But, like, to me, the main thing I got out of it was that he's conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And those few seconds in The Last Jedi where he realizes that Leia's on the ship that he's trying to destroy and, like, pauses and doesn't hit the trigger kind of also shows that.
Yeah.
But it is really cool to see Dagobah again.
Agreed. That was kind of cool. So part of me thinks that this could sort of go either way. I almost think that this story is, like, in terms of, like, the Ben-demption versus non-Ben-demption, it almost comes off as, like, kind of spoilery. I'm like, we don't know whether or not he's going to get redeemed or not. I sort of assume he is, but nobody really knows for sure, and there are strong arguments in either direction. But this sort of seems to strongly hint that we're going to get redemption for Ben Solo in episode 9.
Yeah, I mean, redemption just wouldn't surprise me. Not being redeemed would surprise me.
Really?
But from, like, just it being Star Wars and the end of a saga, being redeemed to me is the expectation.
Do you think that there's a chance that it could be sort of setting up some kind of, like, misdirection type of thing where it's like, it's definitely not going to happen, and then we're going to look back on this and be like, well, then why the fuck did you put this comic out that did this?
Maybe. I mean, I think it could be one of those things where it's, like, really close and he changes his mind. That's just what happened in Last Jedi, right?
Okay.
Or, like, Rey sees that redemption is possible. Like, she knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's the vibe we get from the movie. So it's possible. Maybe it doesn't happen, but we definitely know it's possible, and I think that's what this is accentuating.
Yeah.
Whether or not it happens, probably will, but
gotcha.
We'll see.
Yeah. Good point. Are you still doing a lot of Pilates?
Mm-hmm.
Your shoulders look really toned.
Oh, thank you.
Are you doing some planks? Getting your plank on?
I've been really good at planks.
Really? Good for you.
I've been, like, I mean, by really good, I mean, like, 30 seconds.
No, that's awesome. You got to build it up from somewhere. That's better than where most people probably can start.
Thank you. I've been working. She works me on my arms a lot, and I've just been having her, like, try to work me on my core a little more, so.
Cool. All right, what's next?
Thank you. You say it, I can't talk.
All right, so the next thing we wanted to talk about was the preview for the next Age of Resistance comic. This is the Kylo Ren comic standalone that's coming out on September 25th. So we haven't read it yet, but StarWars.com posted a preview this week. Did you look over this preview of Kylo Ren's standalone comic?
Not yet. Tell me about it instead.
Okay, so it's written by the same writer of the Snow comic. It's Tom Taylor. So I'm looking forward to it because I liked his last story, obviously, very much. But the preview basically follows the story of a really old, beaten up, super scarred stormtrooper. And I'm kind of confused because the beginning of it shows that the location that we're in is wild space. And we've got a very old looking stormtrooper talking to a younger trooper.
Could it be a clone?
That's what I wondered a little bit, because he looks a little clone-like. He could be old. He looks a little bit like old Rex, but he's got a lot more facial scarring, and he's got a smaller beard. But he could sort of be... Well, I don't think it's ever acknowledged in the actual comic that he's a clone.
I mean, one of these frames on the link you saw on StarWars.com, the word old is all caps and bold.
Mm-hmm.
So it very well could be, and that would be awesome to see.
Well, and he describes himself as a soldier, too, but we also know that this is taking place at the same time as Kylo Ren is already in existence. He's not Ben Solo anymore. The First Order is in existence. So we know roughly the time period this is taking place. This clone would be fucking old if this was an actual clone.
Yeah, because they age double time.
Yeah, so I can't imagine that that's the case, but I'm like, is it maybe an old Imperial stormtrooper? Like, from the Empire, not from the First Order, because they're out in wild space.
Mm-hmm.
Have they now sort of come across a fellow stormtrooper from the Age of the Empire?
Could be.
I can't tell if I'm not educated enough on the different armor types, so I can't tell. We don't see him from... Oh, we do see him from... There is a shot of him from the back.
Oh my god, what?
I think it is.
An old
Wait
one.
Wait a minute.
Holy shit.
Oh my god. I didn't even notice it until, like, literally right this moment.
Oh wait, they show the old helmet, like, sitting next to him when he's getting dressed.
Is it an old stormtrooper helmet style?
Yeah, it's Empire One.
That's fucking crazy. So is this the first time that we're seeing Empire era stormtroopers?
Yeah, I think
we're in wild space and we know that they're still out there, that Rey Sloan went out there, and that holy fucking shit.
Yes, it's people who've been out there for 30 fucking years.
Whoa.
Hell yeah.
Y'all. Oh my God. That's crazy. Because I saw from behind that looks like the old costume, because it's got the like weird symbols on the back that are different, I'm pretty sure, from the First Order ones. Or I could be crazy. I don't know. Yeah, the First Order have the little black circle on the left, and this guy he's got a white circle.
Yeah, this is totally old school.
So that's fucking weird. And so they're in some place and they're looking at some place where Vader apparently was at one point. I don't know what this is. This may have been from some comic that I haven't read, but this is really interesting. This is really interesting. So I wonder if we're going to get some hint of what's to come in The Rise of Skywalker in terms of all of those Star Destroyers that were in the D23 footage.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is somehow related.
Yeah, bringing in the wild space concept,
yes,
is huge. And I'm just like, I'm so curious about bringing in all this old stuff. I love it.
Oh my God.
But I know they have to do it in a way that people who only watch the movies get it.
Yes.
Or get it quickly enough.
Yes.
Or it doesn't need to be gotten.
Sure.
Yep. this looks fucking badass. And it's just like a one issue deal. Or mm-hmm.
All of the Age of Resistance things they're all standalone. This is the Kylo Ren issue. So this is going to be interesting.
Oh my God, I'm stoked for this.
September 25th. So that'll be how many days after this episode comes out? That'll be like 2 days, I think.
Yeah, we can put the link on our show notes, what we're looking at right now together.
It'll be the day after. Fuck. All right, so we'll all be in the know soon. I don't know, it just looks really cool, so... This isn't normally a comics podcast, but that Kylo Ren one, I swear to God, or the Snoke one, I'd recommend to anyone. This one looks like it's going to be a good one, too.
Oh, my God. Wait, there's this one frame where it's all old stormtroopers, like hundreds of them.
Really? How do you know?
Because the masks have the little vents or the little lines on them.
So the new First Order ones don't have that?
No, it's solid black. So look at the frame with the TIE fighters.
You're right.
Yeah. It's all old school stormtroopers.
Oh, my God.
Can't believe they use old-ass tents like knights back in the day.
I know, I saw that. I was like, what is this Game of Thrones shit? What's that tent they're going into?
Those were palaces. Oh, my God. I can't wait to watch this. Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. This is going to be cool. They do a first look of it on the Star Wars show episode that came out this week, which I watched but didn't really pay attention to, so I don't know. Let me see. The only other thing that I have in terms of new stuff to discuss was that... The images that leaked this week from the Rise of Skywalker advent calendar. Did you see that?
Yes, an advent calendar?
Yeah, I had no idea.
I thought that was just a Catholic thing.
I'm pretty sure it's just a Catholic's, like advent calendar is a Catholic concept, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's very strange. So in this image, we have lots of little numbers, one for each day before Christmas. And
right.
It says Merry Christmas. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't say Happy Holidays. But if it's an advent calendar, then there you go. They don't have to be politically correct anymore. You can be as Catholic as fuck.
Still so weird to me.
So initially, this leaked as just the right side of the image, where it was just the the evil side, but you could still sort of see the cross of Rey's lightsaber in it too. And then we later learned that this image is going to be the advent calendar. I think this is also going to be the cover. There are going to be two covers for Star Wars Insider issue. What is it, 194? So if you're buying it in a store at a comic book shop, it's going to be the Rey version. If you're buying it online, it's going to be the Kylo Ren version. So we've got a bunch of fun, got some fun shit in here.
One thing that someone pointed out on Twitter, I don't remember who, but Rey and Kylo each have like a sun behind their head.
Yes.
Like binary sunsets.
Yes.
And then they posted like a picture of Luke or another picture where the Tatooine suns show up, and mm-hmm. like one of them is more blue and one of them is more red.
Yeah,
just like they show up in this, and that's kind of cool.
Yes,
I wouldn't have noticed that otherwise if I didn't read someone. So shout out to whoever on Twitter said that.
Well, it looks like there's like an A-wing of some sort on the left side. There's a couple X-wings. There's one Y-wing, which is interesting. We haven't seen Y-wings yet in the sequel trilogy, have we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Oh, and there's old balls Lando. I didn't even see it back there. That's funny. It looks like young Lando. I know that it's supposed to be old Lando, but it looks like young Lando.
It does very much.
Poe in his sexy scarf. Zori Bliss is behind him. Chewie, BB-8. Oh, and Dio's in there too. I didn't see him.
Yay.
And then on Kylo Ren's side, we can see that some of the TIE daggers, that was the image from the VD for The Rise of Skywalker that showed up. That's what these look like, are the TIE daggers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we saw his interceptor somewhere too, but now I don't see it. Am I missing it? Do you see it anywhere?
Yeah, I don't know. There's Sith troopers and regular First Order troopers, Knights of Ren. I kind of want this. Maybe I can send a picture to my mom and be like, look, Mom, I'm being Catholic this year.
Will she believe you?
No.
No. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's going to be like where when you pop the thing off, it's got something behind it, or is it like an advent calendar where you like put your own shit in it? Like, have you seen like, you know, like there's advent calendars with, like, for wine? Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, there's a wine one you can get. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, who needs to be drinking wine every day? And then I'm like, me.
Yes.
Oh, yay.
Holy shit.
Oh, you know what? This image that we're looking at on the site says that the image is cropped. C-3PO, Janna, Finn, they're supposed to be in it too. But for some reason, we have a crop version. Right. See, I could have sworn his interceptor was in it.
Yeah, these numbers are all in a wonky order. I wonder what the chocolates behind them look like. Do you think they just say, like, Star Wars, or they're just rebellion
symbols? Well, that's what I was saying. Like, do you think that it's something where you put chocolates in it, or it's in there, or do you think it's just the paper that pops out and it has...
I bet they have something in it already, because if they didn't have something in it already, could you imagine, like, the nightmare?
Oh, people will still buy it, though.
Well, people will still buy it, yeah.
Collector's item.
But I bet it's, like... I bet it's a chocolate that just has, like, a rebellion symbol or a Sith symbol every other... Or... Sorry. Resistance or First Order
Got
symbol
it.
Every
Got
other it. Thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's all I got on that. I don't really have anything to speculate on this. I think... I want to say Jason Ward posted something about how Zori's ship was in this and they, like, cut it out or something. I saw some tweet about it. I don't know.
I've seen something weird about her ship too. But you know what? According to Home Alone, Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
Okay.
Yep. I think that's it.
Filthy animal. I think it's singular.
Filthy animal. Same difference. Order a pizza. Call it a day.
Cheese pizza just for me? that's good times.
Yes. And let's see. So that's it for news, which is not a lot.
No, there's not. There's not a ton to go off of at this point. But that's okay. I imagine we're going to get the announcement for when the trailer is coming any day now.
Yeah, I'm still putting my money on October 7th.
Okay.
It's a Monday night football game.
Yeah.
About the right same time that it was last year.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
It's the Monday after Force Friday, so I think that could be it.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That would definitely coincide, I think.
Yeah.
Cool.
$5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want to bet me?
No.
Okay. I tried.
No, because I agree. I think that's when it's coming out, too, so I'm not going to bet against
it. Okay. Well, we've had a good track record of being right, except for all of our corrections.
Yes, except for the 20 caravan of corrections we've had between this episode and last one. We are always right.
But we were right about the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, all the trivia that we've gotten wrong the last 2 weeks. We've done a pretty hard trivia the last couple weeks that we've stumped each other quite a bit.
Maybe no one will remember. I don't.
We're not right about anything. Anyway, next up is Black Spire. We don't need to talk about this too much, I don't think, because we went pretty in-depth. Not really in-depth in terms of spoiling anything, but we talked about it a lot in our last episode, but we hadn't finished it yet. Now we've both finished it. So maybe we talk about that next. I have to pee. Should we break?
Yeah, we should do a drink break.
Let's do a drink break.
Let's do a drink break.
Okay.
Okay, so we have our refills.
We.
I said it in French. Did you notice?
Mm-hmm.
Hence the we.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I read this book 9 years ago. I don't.
Me too.
I don't really remember a ton about the ending. I know that we were more than halfway through during our discussion in episode 18, and then I finished the book, I think, the next day. or maybe the day after. And I, because it was so good. It really was a page turner. I enjoyed the ending. What did you think?
I really liked it. It was exactly like season 6 of Homeland.
Really?
I finally finished rewatching all of Homeland as well. Even the 2 seasons that I just watched like a month before. Embarrassing, but awesome. Anyway, I found it just like Homeland. I was like, oh my God.
How random. I had no idea.
I know. So I loved how it ended. I thought it was perfect. I'm curious to see how they're going to tie it in with maybe some of the other books like Force Collector or Resistance Reborn.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's no secret, I don't think, because of that D23 image that Rey has to be on Batuu.
Yes.
In Galaxy's Edge.
Well, and we know that she's on Batuu because at Galaxy's Edge, she's in Batuu. So, yeah. I mean, she's got to be wandering around at some point. So I would think that either in The Rise of Skywalker or somewhere in one of the books that's coming out in the lead up to that, that she'll appear.
Yeah. And Vi, I love that character.
I wonder if they ever interact at Galaxy's Edge.
I bet they do.
Yeah, I feel like I've never seen any video or heard anything about it, but I don't know.
Well, they probably wouldn't want to give it away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, I'm really curious to see it. Like, I'm curious to see, like, I want to bet in one of the books we find out, like, in Crash of Fate, what the delivery was. The delivery item.
Oh, okay. And I never finished it. So,
that's fine.
I don't think I'm going to, so I don't know if we want to say what it is on here because we don't want to spoil
it. Well, we don't know what it is.
Oh, even after you finished reading the book, still don't know what the item was?
No.
What the fuck?
So it's got to be something. And then I don't know. I was a fan of it. I like how Delilah Dawson writes. And I'm curious, what's the book she has coming out on Force Friday?
It's the Skywalker Saga one,
yeah.
Isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
But it's weird because, so when they initially announced it, they sort of sold it as like, it's going to be different members of the Skywalker family telling different stories from maybe different points of view, but Rey is in it too. So it's like, it's not just about the Skywalker. I don't know.
Maybe R2 is telling it.
It's been kind of confusing how they've marketed it. It's not totally clear what it is, but I'm excited for this book. And maybe they're probably keeping it sort of under wraps on purpose, but You said that comes out on Force Friday?
Yeah, I ordered it, but like a physical copy. So I won't get it on Force Friday.
Why'd you get a physical copy of this one out of curiosity?
Because I think it's really graphics heavy.
Oh, really?
Same like Myths and Fables. I have that behind you if you haven't looked at it.
I saw that, yeah.
But I think it's very graphics heavy because a mutual friend that we have who may or may not also do podcasts and may or may not also get advanced copies of books may or may not have messaged me like a may or may not picture of a page that may or may not be in the book.
Interesting.
So I think it's very... I think it's a very visual book.
It's going to be worth buying a hard copy of it if you are into that kind of thing.
If you're going to read it, I think it does need to be a hard copy.
Okay, good to know.
That's why I ordered it.
But yeah, we were talking about Black Spire. Should we circle back to that? Do we talk about how it ends? Should we spoil the ending?
I don't think we need to.
No, I don't think we do either. We really talked about it pretty in depth in our last episode, so we don't need to get into it. But yeah, I agree. I liked the ending. I feel like some people maybe read into it a little bit too much in terms of what's to come in certain other characters' endings in The Rise of Skywalker. And I don't think that it has anything to do with that. I think this is a completely separate story and separate character that went one way, and I don't necessarily think it has anything to do with what is going to happen with other characters in episode 9.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Really? Okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So one thing, though, is Laura had this like really fun question last time about who we think Zaid would be.
Oh, yeah. I tried to fan cast him and I failed.
Well, Delilah Dawson started like posting about fan casting, and I saw someone, or maybe it was just I saw her tweet, someone asked about Zaid and who he was, and she gave us the actual answer. So now we know.
Yeah.
She said he is a touch of Russell Brand with Klaus from Umbrella Academy. I haven't watched it. Whatever. Jack Sparrow, Mick Jagger, and Steven Tyler.
So you nailed it with Jack Sparrow because that was one of Alice's. Was that she went with Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So then I responded and she actually retweeted me with a comment.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, cool. What did you say? What did she say?
So I said something like, I think I said Archex based off Peter Quinn from season 6 of Homeland. And then I was like, oh, fuck, did I just spoil a bunch of shit for everyone? And, but then I was like, whatever, who cares? Anyway, she said, no, Archex is based on Kalani Robb, who played Happa in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not based on the character, he's based on the actor.
Yeah.
In terms of... That's random, because then she also talked... Oh, Archex, got it. Okay, yeah. Got it. I thought we were talking about Zayd still, my bad. Interesting. So what you were asking is his storyline based on this character, not necessarily just this person supposed to look like this.
Right, yeah, because Peter Quinn in Homeland, he's like a highly trained like CIA operative assassin person, basically. Okay. And in one of the seasons, he is like poisoned with his gas and like barely survive. All this stuff happens anyway. One season he ends up and he's like in the VA and he has all this trauma from having a stroke and he's like a little out of it, but a little paranoid, yeah. Doesn't know what to do. And he just has his military training, like assassin training to fall back on. So like goes finding out all this stuff and he has these emotional issues. Partly because his head's a little fucked up from having a stroke. And
yeah.
Anyway, I can't say more because I'll give away A, season 6 of Homeland, and B, the ending of Black Spire.
Got it. Okay. So,
yep, there we go.
Interesting. Huh. Well, that's really cool. That's fun that she retweeted you.
I know. I couldn't believe it. I was like, me? She did that when I responded to when I finished Phasma last summer.
Yeah?
And I was like, this was so great, blah, blah. And I tagged her in it, and she responded or retweeted me.
Nice.
I know. That's cool. I love her. I was listening. They interviewed her on The Living Force, and she just seems like the coolest person.
That's cool. I need to listen to that interview, because I do enjoy her on Twitter, and I enjoyed this book a lot.
She also just looks really cool.
Yeah.
Like, when you see her, you're like, oh, man. She's, like, rock and roll. Like,
yeah. I wonder if she's in LA. She should come get a drink with us at the cantina.
I know. Okay, let's tweet her.
Yeah.
Talala Dawson, will you come see us, please?
Hey, you up?
You up. Yes. You up? Scum and Villainy Cantina.
Yeah.
Now.
See you there.
ASAP. ETA? ?
Yeah, I really... I liked that book a lot. And my thing was that I had such low expectations for Black Spire because I was just like... This is just a fucking book that's supposed to, like, sell me on a theme park. It's the objective of this book is to get me out to one of these goddamn coasts so that I can go see this theme mm-hmm. park. Like, this is going to be just a, like, I don't even know what. I had such low expectations. And I was so, I just loved this book. It was such a good story. And the character of Vi is so great. And, like, Archex/Cardinal is an amazing character, and all of the new people that we were introduced to, like, it was just bam, bam, bam. Just like it just kept getting more bonus points every time we were introduced to someone new. I loved it.
Yeah, I was concerned about that too, and I didn't feel like anything was really in my face.
No.
You know, at all. It does make me want to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff of like, this is the drink that they order. They're like, I'm pretty sure they went through the entire menu. Like, we get somebody drinks the entire menu of Ogus Cantina, but I'm like, whatever, man. I'm here for it. I'm excited. Anyway,
I didn't feel like it was overly done. Like, as I found out today, Laura has not seen Josie and the Pussycats. That is a perfect example of like
overselling
mass marketing.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. It's very, very good. You need to watch it.
It's random. The things we learn about each other.
I know.
During our dance parties.
I still think one of my favorite characters is, how do you pronounce it? Creaky? Crikey?
Oh, Krykai.
Krykai.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her.
She was cute.
She's the best.
I loved her because she just sounded like young Ahsoka, so I was just like, oh, she's cute.
Yeah, I love her.
You know what I realized is that one of those, whatever creature or species she is, there's one of those in the cantina scene in A New Hope. It's the one character that's like reaching up with both hands to grab the drink off the bar. That's what Krykai is. And she's a great character in the book. If you haven't read it, it's great.
So good. She's like a little mouse type.
She kind of looks like, it's like a bat meets a rabbit or something. Weird, but it's also like an upright, maybe 1 meter tall being. So has to reach up very high to grab the drink off the bar. It's cute.
Super cute.
Yeah. All right. So next up, we've got listener emails and tweets and stuff. And there are so many, and I have novels written in terms of answers for all of them, but we should start with a super fun one first. So let's do it.
I'll read this one because it's easier for me to read something short. Listener Andy sent us a very important question, And it is, if you took the sequel trilogy main characters to a bar, what drinks would they each order and why?
I fucking love these questions like this. These are so fun.
I have such a hard time because, like, my drink menu that's in my head is so basic.
Oh, you're like knowledge, your cocktail knowledge or whatever?
Yeah, okay. Like I have zero, but I picked one for each one.
Mine are pretty basic though too, I think. Do you want to start? What do you have for Ray?
You start.
Okay, so for Ray, I have a fully loaded Bloody Mary. let me explain. So it's going to have, when I say fully loaded, I mean like when you go to a Bloody Mary bar and you put all the fucking shit inside your Bloody Mary.
I don't drink them.
Okay. You don't like, oh, have you ever tried one?
Ugh, tomato vomit.
Oh my God, I love them. So Bloody Mary bars have all the fixings and all that shit. So Ray's getting a fully loaded Bloody Mary that's going to have like a hot dog and a slice of pizza and shit on it because Ray gets that bread. So she's all about it.
What the fuck are you pizza and a Bloody Mary?
Yeah. Have you not ever seen these like fully loaded Bloody Marys, like pictures of them when people go to the Bloody Mary bars and you've got all the different things you can put on them? They'll have like bacon and there'll be like a little slice of pizza or like a cheeseburger on them. Like that's the fun thing of Bloody Marys. You can put whatever on them.
I feel nauseated.
Oh my God. I fucking love it. Bloody Mary bars are the best.
So for Ray, I picked that she's just happy to drink. Okay.
Which is the other side of the justification. I totally get that. My thing is that Ray likes to eat and she likes bread, so she's going to put all that shit on it because she's going to be blown away by it.
I put that she's... Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I put that she's just happy to drink and, like, I was like, okay, if I'm just happy to drink and she's, like, really mellow and, like, inexperienced drinking, or not inexperienced drinking, but, like, she's a simple folk like me. So I pick Coors Light.
God, you think that somebody who hasn't drank before is immediately going to go for a Coors Light?
Yeah, why not?
Because I never would. I didn't drink beer until I was out of college. That's disgusting.
I didn't really drink beer until I was out of college either, but...
It tastes like piss water.
I think to Ray, that probably tastes like gold.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she would want to go with something that tastes good. I don't know, but actually that was the
difference.
That was justification I had for Finn too, actually, but yeah. That's the way that I went with Finn. I put light beer, but my whole thing was with Finn was that that's all the first order had and that's what he's used to, and I bet he's a lightweight.
So I have almost the same thing.
Are you kidding? Finn?
Because I said he'd have something a little more refined than Coors Light because he's had the first order be a little fancier.
Yeah.
But maybe something a little nicer that's light. And okay. Everywhere they go seems to be hot as fuck. So... maybe he'd have like a nicer light beer, like a Stella.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah, that totally makes sense. I was just thinking like the first order doesn't want their people to get drunk or fat. So it's going to be like, it's going to be like lighter-ish something. But yeah, you're right. It would be something that tastes better probably than like the shittiest beer you could buy.
My favorite.
Nice. All right. That's funny that we were on the same thing with Finn. I want to hear what you have for Poe.
He's old school.
Okay.
And he's old, so I'm like, maybe he'd do like a Jack and Coke.
Okay. Oh, that totally makes sense, actually.
Yeah,
I can see him. That checks out. So my thing with Poe is that he would read the room and his audience, whoever he's with, and he would order based on his environment.
Oh.
So I bet he enjoys a Miller Lite just as much as he enjoys a dirty martini. But if you're going to a bar with Poe and you're sitting down and ordering a French martini, he's going to go, I'm having what she's having. No matter who he's with.
Oh, that's really good. I like that.
Yeah, but I also think that if he had to pick his favorite drink, it'd probably be a Jack and Coke. He seems like a Jack and Coke guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good analysis.
I like it. Yeah, because he's got that spy thing going on. You got to read the room.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Speaking of spy things, Hux. So for Hux.
You're going to love mine.
Oh my God, I hope we didn't pick this. I mean, I actually hope we picked the same thing.
This would be funny.
Well, my tie-in of speaking of spy things, I think Hux is a wannabe and has such bad FOMO that he would copy James Bond and say vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
Oh, that's really funny. What a fucking poser. Poser asshole.
What'd you put?
I put Everclear neat.
Oh, God.
It's disgusting.
The night I accidentally did Everclear vodka shot or Everclear jello shots, thinking they were vodka shots, was one of the worst of my life.
Yep, I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Everclear, yeah. Why?
Everclear, because he's just a fucking hard-ass motherfucker. Like, I bet if his aim is to get drunk, he wants it to be fucking efficient. And I bet he doesn't, like, I bet he's one of those that he just, like, gets off on torture. And so he's, like, when it comes to drinking the worst alcohol you could ever possibly drink and drinking it at room temperature nonetheless, he's going to go Everclear and eat because he's just, like, just get it done. Just get it fucking done.
I think he's fluffy on the inside. Like, if he were a piñata,
yeah,
there'd be feathers and glitter that would come out.
That's a really interesting analysis of Hux. We may never know.
We may never know. That's true.
Yeah.
But I think he's a feather glitter piñata.
Do you have an answer for BB-8?
I do.
What do you have for BB-8?
Old school Four Loko.
I want Amaretto Sour because he's a baby. It's a baby's drink.
Yeah. I just picked Four Loko because it's fun colors and it's in a giant can. And I
Four
thought
Loko.
That would... Why not?
Do they still make that? That's not a thing anymore, is it?
So they don't. I think they started remaking it, but not the same recipe that they used to make it.
Yeah.
Not the recipe that was banned.
That's going to, like, make your heart explode and kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we also had Kylo.
Kylo Ren. So I put a very simple answer. He doesn't drink.
I said he's too uptight to let his guard down drinking, so I picked a Shirley Temple.
Oh, that's really funny. I feel like we got this. Like, I feel like we've fully successfully analyzed all of these characters. He wouldn't want to be out of control, so that makes sense.
Yeah, we did good on that one.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Nice.
High five. Yeah.
Kink.
I love how, like, on par we are with each other's answers. That's really funny.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet.
Thank you for that question, listener Andy. That was really fun.
Next up, Maria.
Yeah. All right. Email from our friend Maria. I have been very excited thinking about possible animation to live action crossovers. With Dave Filoni in the live action arena now, anything is possible. In the Mandalorian trailer, you see Moralo Evol. I think I said that right, has been captured and frozen in carbonite. His most memorable episode is probably the box in the Clone Wars, where Obi-Wan goes undercover as a bounty hunter. This opens the door for me to pray that Ahsoka might show up and hopefully in Cassian, which makes the most sense. I'm a huge Ahsoka stan. Obviously, if I name my kid after her, which she did, that's a true story. And Maria is fucking amazing for doing that.
Ahsoka's the cutest baby.
She's really cute.
Did you see the Twitter thing of Ahsoka blowing a kiss today?
I did.
Fucking cute as hell.
Cried. Okay, sorry, back to Maria's email. Ahsoka is starting to talk now, by the way. If they can resurrect Peter Cushing, they can do this. What crossovers are you looking forward to the most? Thank you for all of your hard work and keep up the amazing content, your friend in the Force, Maria.
We love you, Maria.
Yay. All right. So what crossovers are you wanting to see in Star Wars, Alice? You start.
I don't know. As far as crossovers, like, I just kind of want to be surprised. Like, when I'm thinking about, so I know what we're already getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want new stuff or reimagined stuff, I guess. Like, we talked a while back about, like, if one of the books could be a show, maybe having Lost Stars be like a three-parter.
Yeah.
You know,
like a limited series.
Yeah, like a limited series or like a three-part event, I guess, where each one's like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah.
I would really like to see them do more stuff with the books and the characters from the books.
Yeah.
I don't really know as far as crossover. What are you thinking?
That's kind of funny you say that, because I sort of had a similar answer, that in terms of seeing the novels come to life on screen, whether that's animated or live action, I would prefer live action, I think, because I feel like they tend to go too kiddie with the animated. But the leads from Lost Stars, Ray Sloan, Vi Marotti, Poe's parents, Eli Vanto, all of these are people that I would absolutely, like, shit my pants to see them make the jump to live action and see on screen. I love the idea of, like, these truly beloved characters making that jump. Am I going to hold my breath for it? No. Definitely not. Because I think you're right. I think we're more likely to be surprised in something like this. It's going to be, for it to be something totally unexpected, I think, is much more likely. But my other thing is that I'm a bigger fan of Rebels than I am the Clone Wars. And I would love to see Ahsoka in live action form, like the Rebels version of Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. And I wonder sometimes if Ashley Eckstein is, like, maybe gearing up for something like that, because... I don't know if she's, like, dieting and or working out or something, but she like looks amazing right now. She seems to be like, and she's always looked great no matter what weight, no matter what she's doing, but she seems to be like in the last 6 months, if I feel like she's like slimmed down a little bit. And I wonder, that makes me wonder if she's like preparing something for something going on. Yeah. Because we have to be on camera soon, and you and I are both putting effort into slimming down because we're very vain. But she might just be doing it for her own health, and if she is, like, good for her. It's whatever, power to her. But I do wonder if maybe there's something coming in that sense.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that, but I did spend a great bit of time watching YouTube videos and applying fake eyelashes last night.
Yeah.
And I tried. I did okay.
Did you, out of curiosity, did you do the magnetic ones? Have you seen those?
So the magnet, I own a few sets. They're right over there. But the problem with magnetic ones is you can't trim them to fit your eyes.
Okay.
Because a lot of eyelashes aren't, like, you need to trim off a few at the end. Uh-huh. With magnetic ones, you can't because there's magnets at the end.
Oh, okay. They have to be a specific size, though.
Yeah, so I actually think using glue is the way to go. And I did a pretty good job last night, I think.
Good with for it. You.
But there's all sorts of types of glue. There's like a clear, you can get black glue, so it kind of blends in with your eyeliner more.
Yeah.
And there's like this common white, like tacky glue.
Okay.
Anyway, I have to practice a little more, and I also have to practice measuring my eyes for to make them the right size. But normally you have to cut the eyelashes.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing all right. Practicing that and mm-hmm. doing my hair because... Why not?
Because vanity. That's okay. Vanity, yes. We're entitled. So the next thing that we have is an email from our friend Joey Howe. He is at Joey Howe on Twitter and Instagram. That's Joeyjao on Twitter and Instagram. You can find him there. He's our good buddy here in Chicago. Hello, Alice and Laura. As always, I wanted to tell you two that I truly enjoy listening to your podcast. I know it was a few episodes back, but I wanted to talk about Alphabet Squadron, and really my worry for the trilogy. It's obvious that our main hero is Erica, and we will be following her journey closest through these three books. My biggest worry is how are they going to do that? In a hero's story, there is always a low point where they must pick themselves up and fight against all odds to end up on top. You two mentioned the possibility, or probability, of fatalities amongst the squadron. I'm super worried that Hera does not make it out of these books alive. Will she just be used as a tool for Erica to find herself? The more I think about it, the more I can talk myself into thinking that that is the way the story will go. What do you think of that? Again, I want to thank you so much for coming to the Ronald McDonald House fundraising event last night. I was really shocked when Alice told me you two were thinking of going, and even more pleasantly surprised when you were able to make it. Too bad Laura was on her detox, and we could have had a proper force toast. You two are awesome, and don't ever let anyone else make you think otherwise. Your friend, Joey.
Yay!
So that's really nice.
Thanks, Joey.
Yeah, we went to up to North Center, a neighborhood north of us, and went to the fundraiser with your friend, and that was really fun. And yeah, unfortunately, I was doing my juice cleanse that day, but I still went, and it was still fun. I had club soda. I don't think that's officially part of a juice cleanse, but that's like a...
Yeah, so Joey's fundraiser was for Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah, Joey is, he's raising money for them because he's training for the Chicago Marathon, which I think is happening the weekend that we are in LA, so we're going to miss it, unfortunately. But yeah, we'll post a link to the charity. If you are in a giving mood and you have the funds to do so, feel free to donate to his charity. The Ronald McDonald House is near and dear to his heart, and it's a great charity that does great things. So yay. But back to Joey's question, let's see, worried about Hera, will she be used as a tool for Erica to find herself? The more I think about it, the more I can talk myself into thinking that that is the way the story will go. What do you think of how Hera is going to be used as a device in Alphabet Squadron, the book trilogy?
Well, I don't think we're going to see Hera at all, to be honest. I mean, one of the things that Joey pointed out is that heroes... in the hero journey have like their low point that they have to come up from. I still don't think that Erica's had her low point. I think her whole journey so far has in like overall been a low point. Like she hasn't done anything super successful or exceptional. Like her missions have pretty much failed, or like she's failed has, you know, doing what Hera wanted her to do that was really bond with her people. And I still am confused by the end of the mission of the last one.
I get that.
But I don't think Eric has done with her, has even... her hero journey is very bizarre to me. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see her at all in the rest of them. And I think it's very plausible that Erica would sacrifice herself with that other guy, like Nath Tenzin. I think he's the most likely to go in the next book.
Really?
And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Erica goes at the end.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't think about that, but I guess that would sort of make sense for Erica. And I'm sort of fine with that, and sort of fine with any of the characters going down in that sense, because I don't have any real emotional connection to them, especially if their sacrifice is going to lend itself in some really meaningful way to the development of the New Republic. This is funny that he brought this up, because I asked you the same thing when we were recording. I'm like, do you think that Hera is going to make it out of this alive? This trilogy alive, you don't think she's going to show up again. But now Joey's put this idea back in my head, and now I'm worried again.
I feel like if they're gonna off her, they're going to do it more justice than in a random book.
Oh, I hope so. Because that's my argument, is that while I think it's a very real possibility that we're going to see it someday, I don't know. Let me consider the options. Either they never kill Hera in the canon, and I'm just left wondering always how her story ended, or at some point we find out definitively that she dies. Which option would I prefer? That we see her die at some point in the canon, whether it's in a comic, in a book, on screen somehow, or would I rather just be left in the air and I never get to know? And I think I'd probably prefer to know kind of how it goes.
I don't think a book's the way to do it, though.
No, and that's how I feel about it, too. In my perfect world, I'm going to get to see that on screen. This is my favorite character in all of Star Wars. I want to see her go down in a really epic, meaningful way that does the character justice, and especially does her justice in a way that she didn't get, I don't think, enough in Rebels. Because this is a character I really enjoy, and I don't think that she got enough screen time, and I don't think that her story got enough, like, attention. And, she's been through a lot, and I really want her to have a powerful ending. So that's my personal opinion. But I have a hard time believing also that I'll ever see Hera on screen again. I don't know why they would. I feel like they feel like they've told the Rebels story, and I don't feel like they're going to feel any need to revisit that. But I could be totally wrong. I don't want to hold my breath, but I don't know.
Maybe they'll have her and Ahsoka in the Cassian series.
Maybe. It'd be nice. The Cassian series, I think is going to... I don't know if we're going to... I'm not going to hold my breath. I don't think it's going to happen. I would love to see Ahsoka pop up at some point and get this, like, Ahsoka Sabine go out and search for Ezra story. But I don't know any reason why Hera would be in that. That doesn't even make any sense that she would even show up in something like that.
They did say General Syndulla in Rogue One.
Yeah.
So I think she's probably more likely to show up in a Cassian series than Ahsoka. But the whole Fulcrum thing, it just makes me think that maybe both of them could show up at some point, that would be kind of weird with the Rebels timeline.
Yeah.
They both got it. I mean, it wouldn't be weird, but...
I mean, it sounds like the Cassian series is taking place, didn't they say 5 years? So that's the same timeline as Rebels.
Yeah, maybe. I'm curious about the Cassian series. I'm wondering if it's going to be put on the back burner for Kenobi.
That's a good question. I don't know what the...
Because we don't have any information on it. And they're like, the scripts are almost done. Production starting in 2020. And I'm like, but what about the Cassian series?
There was no information on that. I would be willing to bet that we get both of them in 2021. That we see both. Like, maybe one's the beginning of the year and one's end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Thanks for giving me a ton of anxiety, Joey. Jesus. But I like that question because I love any excuse to talk about Hera Syndulla. And that I really enjoyed Alphabet Squadron. I'm looking forward to what I'm hoping will be next summer that we get book two.
For sure.
Anyway, our last thing here is our friend Anthony, who's at Rural Farm Boy on Twitter. Do we have his voicemail here?
We do.
I'll do Forest Toast Girls, Miss Laura, Miss Alice. Another schmodown's coming. Miss Laura's going to partake in. So Miss Alice went and put the call out for Forest Toast listeners. Help lend a hand. Get Miss Laura ready. And Rural Farm Boy's along. Do my part that I was asked to do. I went and put some questions. And this here kind of is a mixed up email voicemail. Had a little bit of both. So I wrote my questions down below with the answers. So that way don't get confused with me putting them, saying them here in a voicemail. But I did have a thought or two, maybe just one, as we're a couple weeks past Dragon Con happening. And it put me to wondering, as it was happening, if in either Yin's two was following along, maybe not so much what Alex was sharing, because we know now his hard work of 5 years paid off. He finally got to win that. So now he holds that and Schmo down. But his nemesis, Tommy Harper, he done put out and shared a lot of different things as each stage of that trivia match was going on. And that made me wonder if either of Yin's two girls was following along with Tommy was sharing. Because he was posting up the question sheets. And I know for a while that Dragon Con trivia would just blow Schmodown away. It's easily 100 times harder. And made me wonder if either of Yin's two girls might ever be interested in giving that a shot. Because that there trivia is really deep and wide. So I wonder what you think about that. And I look forward to Forced Host episode 19 in my playlist this coming week. So enjoy making the rest of the show, girls. And I'll see you in my playlist. And I'll find you in that Twitterverse. And one more reminder, friends. You see hashtag make solo 2 happen? Retweet it. May the force be with you, girls. Love you. See you in that Twitterverse. And I'll see you on the radio.
Oh, thanks, Anthony.
Love you too, Anthony. He's a bestie.
I know.
I love it.
Yay.
Okay, so let's dig into this because this is a big ask. This is a big question because we do C2E2 every now and then. I did Comic-Con. We've done Celebration. What other conventions have you been to, if any? Any at all?
I think that's it.
Okay.
So for those of you who aren't familiar with it, Dragon Con is like the giant Comic-Con of Atlanta.
Yes.
Every year.
That takes place in Atlanta, which is not a far flight from here. And it's a huge airport, so there are lots of direct flights in and out.
Yeah. So their Star Wars trivia, Alex Damon was on Around the Galaxy, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And was talking about how much it's changed. And now that it's only canon, whereas it used to consist of legends.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now it's only canon. However, their trivia consists of the books, comics, TV shows, video games, anything and everything.
Yeah, it's wide ranging. So when you say that it's harder than Schmodown, it's sort of not fair. The Schmodown is strictly movie trivia. And Schmodown isn't just Star Wars, but Schmodown is inner geekdom and movies in general. It's just movie trivia. So you can be very good at movie trivia for Star Wars and not know shit about the rest of the canon and still be able to get away with it. That is not the case with the Dragon Con trivia. It is all-encompassing of all media and canon.
It's insane. It's literally everything.
Yeah. So one of the questions that Anthony asked was, at one point, Thomas Harper had posted the screenshots of the multiple choice qualifying exam that you had to get a certain score on in order to get to the trivia. Did you look at that closely?
I didn't look at it very closely.
That was the same with me. I sort of glanced over it briefly. I did take screenshots. I have every intention of actually going through and reading through all that stuff just for my own knowledge, but I didn't read through it word for word yet. I haven't gotten that far. It's on my list.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've read a lot of the books. And some comics, but not all of them. And there's no way, like...
Well, and Clone Wars questions would be really challenging right now, too, because it's not streaming anywhere. You can't find it anywhere unless you own all of the seasons on Amazon.
Yeah, my retention would not be good enough for it. I would give it a whirl. Why not?
Yeah.
But I would not anticipate myself doing well. I'm rusty on trivia nowadays. And also that child prodigy scares the shit out of
him. Yeah.
Who was that?
I don't remember, but I think his name was Miles, and he was, I want to say, a seventh grader. And I think that he came in second or third at Dragon Con.
He was fucking batshit.
Yeah. He's right up there with Damon. So that was crazy. So in terms of whether or not I would ever go to Dragon Con, I would truly love to, because I would like to think that I would be able to throw my hat in the ring and do pretty well. My thing is, it's unlikely that I'm ever going to be able to go, and I'll explain why. Because Alex Damon actually DM'd me right after Celebration. He was like, hey, would you ever come to Dragon Con? We do trivia, and it's a, you know, it's sort of a whole nother ball game. And so I'll tell you all the same thing I told him. Dragon Con has happened for the last 5 years the weekend of Labor Day weekend, which is great for a lot of people. You can turn it into a whole trip. That is not a great thing for anyone who works in finance or accounting. There's a big like tax deadline on September 15th. So I am not ever able to travel over Labor Day weekend because I have to be at work all day the Friday before, and I have to be at work on Tuesday, and there's always a chance that I may be having to do shit over the weekend. So there's no chance of me ever being able to go to Dragon Con unless they either move the dates or if I change jobs. And I really like my job, so I probably won't leave until they force me out. But yeah, it's one of those things that I really would like to go. Maybe it'll happen someday. As it is now, I was actually really scared that Star Wars Celebration 2020 was not going to be an option for me because it's happening around that same weekend, but it's happening but the weekend before Labor Day weekend, so I think I'm off the hook and I'm okay. But yeah, it's unlikely to ever happen for me, unfortunately.
I wouldn't go without you.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Like, if you had the chance to go to like New York Comic Con, would you ever go, or San Diego even?
Well, I mean, okay, if we're talking about like competing for trivia stuff.
Oh, no, I was just talking about like attending the conventions.
I mean, I guess it depends on the circumstance. Like, okay. I'd have to have incentive.
Another reason to be there besides the convention.
I'd have to have some sort of incentive to like pay out of pocket to go.
Yeah.
Do something like that.
Yeah.
I think
I would like to take this on. I do need to sit down and read over, because the questions that I read over, I was like, I could do this. I think I could compete and I think I could do okay. But I need to actually sit down and read them all over really thoroughly again, just to sort of have that knowledge in my mind, because there were movie questions in there too, and it'd be good for me to know the answers to those.
Yeah. But yeah. I just felt rusty. Like, I think I did maybe read some of them, but when I was building out my questions for Schmodown studying, I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, going back and forth, like, typing and Googling and, like, tweeting and just, like, doing all this stuff at once. And I was like, fuck me.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah. So I'm my focus is for you winning. And I, trivia-wise, know another con, if someone wants to send me there for some stupid reason, then sure, but yeah. Am I gonna just like choose to go? Probably not.
Interesting.
There's got to be something.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Well, thank you for the question, Anthony. I would fully consider it with or without Alice. I would consider going if I had the freedom to do so. Unfortunately, as my situation is now, I really don't. Someday, maybe.
Wah.
Yeah. Wah. So, with trivia, that is our next segment. How do you want to do this?
Trivs.
I have questions Trivs. I can do Trivs. For you.
Trivs. 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 Nope. We're doing like we did last
time.
We're just doing you.
Just doing Laura. All right.
Yep. So we did get a lot of questions, and thank you everyone who sent them.
Yeah. We put the call out there for questions. Seriously, thank you. I texted Alice this morning, and I was just like, did you get any responses? And she was like, oh my God. So
yeah.
Thank you.
So before we start, special shout out to Lauren Romo from the Galactic podcast, Lauren and her friend Andrea. Lauren sent us a whole bunch of questions because she runs a Facebook group that does trivia. And
Wait, really? I need to look into this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just straight up forwarded all of those to Laura. They are awesome.
For the record, she forwarded them to me. I haven't looked at them yet. I had a busy afternoon coming over here. So I haven't. If you're going to read any of hers, I'm not cheating. Okay. I didn't look at them.
I might then. I might. Or maybe I'll save them for later if you haven't looked at them by next time. But yeah. Yeah, thanks a shit ton, Lauren. Those were amazing questions. Like, I browsed through all of them and was like, holy fuck, these are perfect.
How many pages was it again?
A shit ton.
Oh my God. Well, you'll have to send them to me beforehand because I need time to look them over too.
I sent them to you this morning.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll start with our friend Andy from Australia.
Okay.
Yes. Hobbit Feet Andy. So Andy is a huge Schmodown fan, and he sent them in the spirit of Schmodown.
Which is exactly what I need. So yay. Thank you, Andy.
Here we go. Ready?
Yes.
We have 10 of them, I think.
Are we just going to do Andy's 10?
We'll do Andy's 10, and then we'll see if I have a few other little ones.
Okay.
And if not, I'll save them for next time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
First one from the Phantom Menace. Who was the pod racer mentioned by the announcers at the pod race? Or who was the first pod racer? Sorry.
Let's go with... God, I'm on the Phantom Menace this week, so this is embarrassing if I get it wrong. Is it Bull's Roar?
No.
Ben Quadraneros.
Oh, I knew that. Fuck me. All right. He's the first one mentioned. Good to know.
Yeah. I sent you a link to all the Padres stuff. It's complicated. I couldn't keep track of it, so I was like, I'm just going to look at Wikipedia and like post it there.
Yeah. I have all that stuff. I just didn't note that he was the first one mentioned, and I will note that.
Attack of the Clones. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Which I haven't studied yet. It's not on my schedule yet for a while.
At the Battle of Geonosis, how many commando units were awaiting Mace Windu's orders?
Holy fuck.
Don't do that. I have no idea.
Five.
Okay. I'm assuming that's something that's said at some point in that movie. Again, I haven't gotten to it yet.
Oh my gosh, this is another hard one too. God damn it, Andy. From Revenge of the Sith, what famous Australian actor played Utapauan Tian Madon?
Ooh, Tian Madon, I have no idea.
Bruce Spence. He was also the mouth of Sauron in Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Okay, Bruce Spence, good to know.
Interesting. I'll have to email all these to you.
Okay.
Four, from Solo. How many hired guns did Han claim were on the Falcon to Empha's nest on Sabarine?
I'm pretty sure it was 30.
Yes.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yay.
Fucking sirens.
It's okay. Just keep going.
God damn, living in Chicago. Okay, yeah. Hold on.
It adds ambiance.
Ambiance, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Number five from Rogue One. Who is the goodest boy seen at Yavin 4?
Chopper.
Yes.
That's very much in the style of Shmona. That's exactly how they do it. Mr. C110P.
Yeah. Yes. I couldn't think of a good movie question because I got distracted watching the movie.
Good boy.
Yeah.
So funny.
A New Hope. What was the name of the spy that informed the Empire about the droids trying to leave Tatooine?
Can you please repeat the question?
What was the name of the spy that informed the Empire about the droids trying to leave Tatooine?
Gardenos?
Close. Gurindon.
Gurindon. Okay. I knew it started with a G and I couldn't get any further than that.
So close. Okay. That was amazing.
What is it?
Gurindon.
Gurindon. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's all emailed. Wow. That was amazing.
I tried.
No,
really
that
hard.
Was really, really good.
Oh, thanks.
From Empire, what call sign was the first to take out an AT-AT on Hoth?
Call sign? Let's go Rogue 2.
Rogue 3, Wedge and Jansen.
Okay, Rogue 3, yeah, that makes sense. All right.
Return of the Jedi. What was, is it Low Gray or Law Gray?
I always say Low Gray, but who knows?
I say Low Gray, too. Okay, what was Low Gray's role in Bright Tree Village?
He was the village shaman, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The chief shaman.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
Yeah.
He's such a weirdo. All right, The Force Awakens. What item does Finn struggle to find while trying to help Rey fix the propulsion tank on the Falcon?
Bonding tape?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that was awesome. And last, from The Last Jedi, what is the name of Supreme Leader Snoke's flagship?
I haven't gotten to The Last Jedi yet, my studying either. That's the second to last one. I know this. Oh, I can't think of it. I don't know.
The Supremacy.
Fuck me. Damn it. I know that. Okay.
I know.
That's next step. All right. So I should go over my schedule, but it doesn't matter because I'll get to all of them eventually. I haven't done Rogue One. I haven't done Solo. I haven't done The Last Jedi, and I haven't done Attack of the Clones yet. So.
Do you want a couple more?
Yeah. Let's do a couple more.
All right. According to release order, this is from Rick.
Okay.
According to release order, who is the first character to lose a limb in the films?
In release order, let's...
I know. I was like, this one is one of those that gives you a brain fart. And I was like, this one's going to drive Laura nuts because it just drove me nuts thinking about it.
Oh, that's really funny.
Brain fart worthy.
I mean, I would go 3PO, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
It is 3PO.
Okay.
Because he gets his arm ripped off from the Tuskens.
I was trying to think. I'm like, does like... Owen and Beru count getting burned? Like, do they lose any limbs in the process? I don't know. Yeah, a little 3PO. There we go.
Yep.
I'm like, then you start overthinking it, and then you're like, well, fuck. But yeah, that was my first instinct.
From Joey, which handmaiden was the first Queen Amidala in The Phantom Menace? Or was the first to imitate Queen Amidala in The Phantom Menace?
Isn't it only Sabe that does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep. Cool. But tricky wording, like confused.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We're going to call that an end for trivia.
Okay.
Unless you want me to ask some of Lauren's questions.
Give me one of Lauren's.
Okay.
Show me your shit.
Hers are really good. Okay, so
Are they all movie?
Yeah.
Good, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So here we go. From The Phantom Menace, Qui-Gon manipulates Watto's dice to land on what color?
Blue.
Yes. From Attack of the Clones, who says the party's over? This party's over.
I'm pretty sure that's Revenge of the Sith, and it's Mace Windu, isn't it?
It's Mace Windu in Attack of the Clones. Because when he walks up behind Dooku, like, at the arena.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm thinking of... Yeah. Okay, never mind. Cool. Yeah, good call. Yeah. Good call.
Aaron Quentin put a bunch of, like, who said it.
Ooh, as good.
A comment.
Good.
Do you want to go over those, too?
Sure.
Okay. Here we go. Who said it? A prophecy which misread could be.
Yoda.
Mm-hmm. If what you have told me is true, you will have earned my
Mace
trust.
Mace Windu.
Yes. Don't let the rapper fool you, friend.
DJ.
Yes. Forget the munitions. There's no time.
Luke Skywalker.
Connix. That's the beginning of The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking Luke and Empire. Yes. Mm-hmm. Good call.
He can help you. He was meant to help you.
Shmi Skywalker.
Yes. And so it is.
Bail Organa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yay!
Ooh, I like those.
Aren't
nice.
Those good? Thanks,
yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah. The script and quote ones are... I'm usually pretty comfortable with those. So
yeah.
That's good. All right, cool.
Finish the quote.
Cool.
Who said it?
Yeah.
What was it? Like, those are pretty common.
Yeah, they are common, and that's why I like them.
Yeah.
I've made a point to learn them.
I will do a call out for behind-the-scenes trivia.
Okay.
Filming locations, any special cameos or would-have-been cameos, send those my way, please. Either DM on Twitter or it can be Alice with a Y, at ForceToastPod.com.
Yeah, we'll repeat that again at the end and put it in our show notes. Alice and I have like four at ForceToastPod email accounts now. So if you send ForceToastPod@gmail.com, I can see those too. So don't send trivia questions there. Send them to Alice or we'll put her email in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hurrah.
All right. That was a great trivia round. Those were really, really great questions. I'm so looking forward and also dreading looking at 26 pages of questions from... I'm like, fuck, that's all stuff that I should probably know that I'm going to have to then learn. That's great.
It's
fine. Super useful, but I'm like, oh my God.
You'll be good.
Daunting.
We got this.
Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you everyone so much for that. That's like any help that we can get is great. And it sounds like Alice has got like a bank of questions to work with from next week too, but we'll put the call out again before we record our next episode for more questions if you've got them.
Yep. So speaking of next episode, what to expect?
I think
it's coming on October 8th, which is the Tuesday before we are in L.A.
Yeah, that'll be our last episode 20 will be our last show before we go to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be me being very nervous and hopefully being well-versed at that point in all the trivia I need to know. I think the last movie that I have to study on my schedule is Rogue One. I'm going to end with that.
You got this.
Yeah.
You got this.
Yeah.
And also being episode 20, we're hitting that too.
I know.
Holy fuck.
It's crazy.
Oh my God. Whoa.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Yeah. It'll also be coming out after the first episode of Resistance airs, so we will not be talking about that. But our Resistance recaps will reconvene.
They'll be back.
They'll be back starting episode 21, after LA.
Yay.
So, yeah. And again, we'll keep you posted on how to watch or find the Schmodown recording, or yeah, if there's a live stream available or something like that, we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we're not totally sure at this point when that episode or when that episode will come of the Schmodown competition will come out on YouTube, but we're not allowed to talk about those results. We're not allowed to spoil it. I mean, Alice and I want to be invited back to things like this, and if we're out there spoiling what happens, that won't happen. So please don't come to us asking how the match went. I mean, you can ask us how it went, but we're not going to be able to tell you the results. But, you know, don't come to us looking for spoilers of who won, who lost, because we're not going to be able to reveal that. We're going to wait until it's out there in public for the entire viewing audience of YouTube. I imagine it will be released to Schmodown or to Patreon members first. So if you're really wanting those answers first, go check out the Movie Trivia Schmodown's Patreon account.
Yep, we're just going to celebrate second or best.
Yeah, so it's going to be great. So that brings us to our last segment of Toast 2. Alice, what are you toasting to this week, or do you want me to go first?
I'm just toasting to how much love we've gotten this month.
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten a lot of love from you guys and new listeners, people who've been with us since the beginning. It's been really, really nice.
Yeah. No, it really has. I feel like our Twitter has grown a lot in the last 2 months. It's been kind of crazy, actually, how overwhelming that's been. And we've gotten just a lot of sort of just random shout outs, just people adding us on Twitter saying, you know, really, really nice things, whether that's in their public feed or via DM. You really have no idea how much that means to us. I mean, it's so motivating and so, so kind, and we really, really do appreciate it. It's one of those things that I don't personally do enough. I don't go to the content creators that I enjoy and give them shout-outs as often as I really should, and it sort of put the pressure on that I feel I should be doing that, because it feels so good when you guys do that. So thank you so much. I don't really have much more to add to that, too. We put that call out for questions, and when Alice said how many she got, that's overwhelming and really, really appreciated. So all those people who are out there cheering and who are going to be there with us in spirit in LA, we really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hashtag Team Laura.
Someday they'll do a team competition and you and I actually get to compete together, and it's going to be fucking awesome.
Oh my God, that would kick ass. Force Toast.
I need them to do that.
Holy fuck. We should like match and like do all this crazy stuff with glitter.
Yep. There's just some glitter everywhere.
Glitter all over the fucking place.
We're going to throw it at our competitors, get it all over them. We're going to wear it.
Yo, mm-hmm. I was walking downtown the other day, and there was penis glitter on the ground.
Oh, fun.
I know, right?
Yeah.
My coworker pointed out.
Must have been a bachelorette party. Or just a Saturday, who knows?
Yeah, it had to have been a leftover bachelorette party, but it was penis-shaped glitter, or sparkle. What's the word for it?
I don't know. Confetti.
Yeah.
Penis confetti.
Yeah. And the sparkly variety. Yes.
What a way to end this show.
I know. What a way. Also, once again, we're going to have a link to our listener Joey's charity in the show notes. And boom, we have another one in the bank. Yes, episode 19. Fuck okay. Yes. So thanks always for listening. And if you like what you hear, spread the news. That's how we get found. And like pop one of those 5-star click things on Apple Podcasts. And if you write a review, we like that too, because it makes it feel good.
Yeah. Alice screenshots those and sends them to me randomly during the workday, and it makes me feel good. So thank you for that. For all those people who do that, and to Alice for screenshotting and letting me know. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at ForcedToastPod, or email us at ForcedToastPod@gmail.com. Please send trivia questions to Alice's Forced Toast email. That's Alice with a Y at ForcedToastPod.com. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, among others, and find a full list of all the places to find our show at www.ForcedToastPod.com.
Herpty derp. Yes. Nice one.
Yeah. Air Beep. Five. Are you going to put your headphones on?
Oh, yes. That is a good idea.
You don't have to. I mean, we could always keep them on.
It makes me feel more professional to have them on.
And I think I bitched him out about something. don't know if I should keep that in there. But
October 14th. Somebody asked me the other day, is it going to be October 14th, isn't it?
12th.
12th. I'm sorry. Fuck. I'm such an idiot. Okay. When you wave your hand around like that, I always think that you, like, farted or somebody farted. I'm like, this is such a weird motion to do.
According to The Art of Star Wars, The Last Jedi, the original concept name, what? Oh, okay, here we go. According to The Art of Star Wars, fuck me! God damn it. Okay, stop hitting things.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Oh, fuck, the sticker. God damn it. Ow, it pulled my arm here. Okay. So.
That was such a gross one.
It was a really gross that one, but gross. It was perfect. Because I was just ripping out my arm hair with a sticker. That's too
bad. Sorry.
Vodka's the best.
Speaking of Kylo Ren, babe.
I just want to, like, whistle the Indiana
Jones. I wonder if people like this or if they, like, get sick of it.
I bet people are, like, in their car just fucking yelling.
Be like, it's a fucking supremacy, you dumb bitch! Oh, I just scared Wednesday. Sorry.
Laura's the best. She's gonna win. Laura's gonna win. Hashtag Team Laura. Everyone needs to be really good. Subliminal messaging. Subliminal messaging. Everyone vote for Laura. Send good juju to her for the schmodown.